Good morning. Thank you for joining us for our online service. Isaiah 43, verses 2 through 3 tell us, "When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." This morning, we can all be assured that as we're walking through this time of uncertainty, that God is right there beside us. Let's open up in prayer. Lord, I just thank you for each and every person who's tuning in today. God, I pray that your presence would be manifest in their homes, God, and that their families would worship together, God, and that they would know that just because they're not in the building doesn't mean you're not with them. They are the church. God, I just pray for your peace to reign upon each and every one and for your protection upon us as well. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other. Jesus, the only one who could ever stand. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Jesus, the name above every other name. Oh, Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. There is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around.
Good morning and welcome to our online service. This is a very unique time for all of us, and it is a bit surreal as I'm trying to connect through our Facebook online and encourage you. I trust that the Lord has been comforting you, encouraging you, and that you've been encouraging one another. Those of you that are unable to get out, and I know some of you shouldn't even try to get out to pick up supplies, we want you to know that we have volunteers that may be able to get out for you and deliver them for you. And one other thing, I also want to thank those of you that have been so faithful in praying, not only for this congregation and for this pastoral staff, but also for this county and this country. And also, many of you have been faithful in sending in your tithes and offerings. We cannot say thank you enough because the bills continue to come in, and our missionaries continue to be in need. So if you'd like to mail in your tithes and your offerings to First Assembly of God, 139 Hill Avenue, Parkersburg, West Virginia, zip code 26101, or simply get on Facebook as you are now. We have links to our online giving. It is safe, it's secure, and it's sacred. It's between you and the Lord. But we cannot thank you enough for your faithfulness in all these things. And we do appreciate it. Open your Bibles with me, if you would, to Psalm 11. And as we go there, I want you to notice the first seven verses of that scripture text. This is a psalm of David. And this is how it reads. In the Lord I take refuge. How then can you say to me, flee like a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bows. They set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now listen to this. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observes everyone on earth. His eyes examine them. The Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked, those who love violence, he hates with a passion. On the wicked he will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. The upright will see his face. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We do pray that your touch be upon each and every one of us. I thank you for touching lives, not only spiritually and emotionally, but physically. Lord, we continue to pray for those that are in authority, that you would give them the wisdom that is necessary during this time. We do pray for those, God, the doctors and the scientists, Lord, that are at work even as we speak, looking for a cure. Regarding this virus, we pray that they would have great success and that those in the midst of suffering may be challenged, Lord, and tempted, God, to run or to fear for their lives. I pray that they would run to you. I pray that they would turn their eyes toward you. I pray that they would lift their voice to you, that they may receive the comfort and encouragement that you desire to give in such a time. Thank you now for the ability you've given us to keep in touch, Lord, online, through the multimedia, and by the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for linking us together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You'll notice that in our lives, there are times in which we find ourselves being triggered over certain things. Sometimes we can be triggered to become angry, sometimes triggered to become fearful, sometimes triggered. Well, you just fill in the space. But the fact remains that we do have triggers in life, and what we find in David's life is that people around him were trying to trigger him. Not only the people around him, but also some of the concerns that he felt, or perhaps even the thoughts that were exalting themselves above the truth of God's word and God's promises to David. And that's something I want to talk about this morning. Because, you see, many times we become triggered when our circumstances get out of our own control. We're triggered to be fearful. Triggered to mistrust the words of God. And also when I find myself, even at a place where I feel like I'm losing control of circumstance or situation, I may find myself panicking or triggered. Now let me tell you, for those of you that may be considered control freaks, and I think we all have a little bit of that in us, that you can find trying to control your environment a very difficult thing during this time. It's especially tough for those of you that like to have control over things. And David is telling us what we need to do when our situations bring about a sense of panic or that sense of being triggered to do things that are contrary to the truth of God's word. Now you might be asking, you know, what does David mean by being triggered, or what does being triggered feel like? Well, look at David's words here and notice what he's saying about what it feels like to panic. It sounds like this: when everything around me is crumbling. In other words, when the foundations are being destroyed, when it feels like the earth underneath me is crumbling. It might be a decision that you need to make and you don't know which way to go. Maybe it's a family situation that's beyond your wherewithal to be able to deal with it. And perhaps even the thoughts that keep on running through your mind, that keep popping into your mind, that you feel that you can't control. It keeps you up at night. Fearful thoughts, images, whatever it might be. Those are the things that can try to trigger us or cause us to feel panic. Listen to what David writes in verse 1 here. How can you say to my soul, flee like a bird to your mountain? Now that's very interesting, because David's friends were offering him an easy answer to the most difficult problems that he was facing. In essence, what they were saying to him, if your enemies are after you, run, get out of there, run away from the battlefield, run out from underneath the shadow of God's wings. Run out from underneath God's care, from His provision. See, they were telling him, don't seek obedience to God. Seek safety for yourself. Now, those things aren't mutually exclusive. You will find the safest thing that you can do in your life is seeking to be under the shadow of God's care and His concern. In fact, that's the safest place you could be on planet Earth. I wouldn't want to go 24 hours without the protection and the touch of God upon my life. But again, if Satan can't destroy us by causing us to be overconfident in ourselves, he will seek to ruin us by distrust. And he will employ every avenue possible to argue us out of our confidence in God. Don't allow the tools of the enemy to get you into a place where you are distrusting the truth of God's word, or allowing thoughts that have exalted themselves above the truth of God's word to get the best of you. Now, sometimes in the midst of our being triggered or pressing that panic button, a friend might tell you, you know, just stop thinking about those thoughts, or quit having that thought that keeps popping into your head. Stop thinking about it. Well, the moment that they say stop thinking about it, all of a sudden you find yourself doing what? thinking about it, of course. And that's why we don't find ourselves trying to not think about certain things, but rather to focus on the things that are true, that are virtuous, that are of good report, those things that are comforting. In essence, the truth of God's word, so that it displaces those falsehoods, displaces those temptations to be triggered. It displaces that desire to press the panic button and rather causes us to turn our eyes toward the Lord and the truth of His word. In fact, in times in which we feel persistently attacked, you may find yourself wanting to give up or resign yourself to the problems. And that's a terrible place to go. Thinking that this problem or this trouble is going to get the best of you. You feel like there is nothing that can be done, nothing you can do. And in fact, look at verse 3. David felt a bit like that, or perhaps was tempted to think like that. Verse 3 says, "When the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?" Think about it. Have you come under attack so much in your life that you feel like, what's the use? Why try? Or you came to that place where you said, where you simply said, "I'm going to give up." Let me tell you, when our safety comes under attack, only God can restore our sense of safety. It's true. Again, I want you to notice verse 1. David makes it very clear. He said this to begin with. "In the Lord I take refuge." Not in the good news, not in the bad news, not in my finances, not in the security of earthly resources. He said, "In the Lord I take refuge." See, when our sense of safety comes under attack, God is the only one that can restore it. It's interesting that when our sense of safety is threatened, we have the tendency, perhaps, to move away from God rather than toward Him. You know, some years ago when I first met Bethany in college, I did what I could to spend as much time with her as I could. And one of the things that I did, now don't take away my man card, guys, but one of the things that I did was I watched a whole series. It was about 6 hours long, maybe even more, of Anne of Green Gables. Yeah, right. I know what you're thinking. But let me tell you, there was a truth that I drew from that particular movie. And one moment in which Anne was asking the person that was caring for her, "Aren't you scared? Don't you worry? Aren't you despairing?" And this woman turned around and looked Anne right in the eye. And she simply said this, "To despair is to turn my back on God." What a great word that is. I mean, to look at the greatness of your problem and then look at the puniness of your own resources is to turn our back on God. We are to look to God. God is bigger than that problem. His resources are infinite. His reach is infinite. He certainly is large and in charge. But David tells us that there are a few good reasons to move to God when our safety is under attack. A few good reasons to move toward God when we feel as if the foundations are crumbling all around us. For a moment, let's look at those. The first thing is, I need to move to God when my foundations are shaken because God is unshaken. Now, doesn't that make sense? Verse 4, "The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord is on His throne." I tell you, as a child, whenever my world was shaken, I would look at my dad because he was one of those steady Eddie guys. I mean, regardless of what our family faced, regardless of the situation or circumstance, my dad always seemed to have that sense of assurance, even upon his face there. I could tell he was immovable in so many ways. And one thing I knew is that if we were facing a problem and he didn't look concerned or scared, I wouldn't be concerned or scared. I knew that the answer was within his grasp. I mean, look, nothing ever seemed to get to him. And the fact that he kept his composure helped me to keep my composure. But here's the reality. God always keeps his composure. God is never shaken. You know, I'll always find him on his throne. Nobody is going to vote him out of office. He's not up for election. He is the Lord of the universe. He continues to be in control of all things. He has not been removed from power. So let that get into your heart, get into your spirit. That we need to move to God when our foundations feel as if they're being shaken, because God is never shaken. Another reason that I need to move to God, toward God, when I feel like my foundations are being shaken, is simply because he sees what's going on. He sees everything. Nothing takes him by surprise. Notice in verses 4 and 5, it's showing us that he observes the Son of Man. His eyes examine them. The Lord examines the righteous. Again, keep yourself in a right relationship with God, and your confidence will soar. Your confidence in God's ability and willingness to meet and exceed every need that you face in life. Your confidence will continue to be built. And again, you talk about a right relationship with the Lord. Who is it, or what is it, that gives you that right relationship? It's Jesus Christ. Your faith is in Christ. Amen? In fact, Paul goes on to say, you know, if you're finding yourself being accused, or you're having doubts about God's love towards you, his concern towards you, he says, who can accuse you? It's Christ who died for you. You know, not one accusation can stick to you, because the blood of Jesus will never lose its power. And as God's children, you are clothed in the righteousness of Christ, his perfection, his protection, his provision. It's all found in Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this same God tells us that when I go to him, he knows the facts already in my life. He has already seen what I'm going through. He's already seen how it's going to end. He knows the conclusion of the matter. Thirdly, we need to move to God when we sense that our safety or our foundations are crumbling, because he acts on our behalf. Isn't that good news? Look at verse 6 and 7. On the wicked he will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. See, the enemies of my soul will be punished if they've done me wrong. You and I know that the enemy of our souls has tried to kill, steal, and destroy every individual on planet Earth at one time or another. But the fact remains that the gates of hell and every demon within it is no match for our God, because he is our provider. He is our protector. I mean, when we sense that we're under attack, why go to somebody whose foundations are already crumbled? Why go to somebody who cannot act on our behalf with omnipotence? Why go to somebody who doesn't see everything and everyone? Look, perhaps one of the things that we can ask ourselves, even right now, is, do you need to turn to God today? Do you need to renew your relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you sensed, even in the midst of what we are facing as individuals and as a country, that God may even be using this opportunity to awaken us to eternal realities that need to be addressed in our lives? I'll tell you what, I am thankful that this life or the next, whether powers or dominions, sword or peril or hunger or nakedness, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. And today, God wants to make sure that you are assured of his provision, his protection, and his personal salvation through Jesus Christ, his Son. Now, Scripture tells us that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. I love that Scripture, because it reminds us, even if you have felt the grip of fear, the sense of safety and well-being has been lost in your life, the reality is that the Father's face isn't worried. So why should we worry, right? God's not sweating it. So we don't have to sweat it either. He's on his throne. He sees what's happening. And he is acting on our behalf. Let's do this. Let's pray right now. And perhaps you're one of those who have been in a faraway place or a faraway country, spiritually speaking. And the Lord is using this time to draw you back to himself. Will you make space for the Lord? Will you make room for him to once again be Lord of your life? Lord over that fear, Lord over that circumstance? Will you trust him with not only your past failures and maybe the present difficulties that you're facing, but trust him with your future because it's secure in Christ? Let's do this. Let's pray right now. Father, we thank you that you've sent Jesus Christ, your Holy Son, to die on a cross for our sin. Thank you, Lord, that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that you raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Lord, I pray for every mouth that is confessing this right now, every heart that is believing this, Lord, that they would feel the presence of your Holy Spirit, God, not only comforting them and encouraging them, wiping out every sin that they've committed against you, but Lord, may they sense the peace that passes all understanding that you've given us through Jesus Christ our Lord. And God, just now we do pray for those that are physically ailing, Lord, not only physically, but perhaps emotionally and spiritually. Lord, may they find wholeness in you this morning. And God, thank you for family. Thank you for Parkersburg First Assembly of God. Thank you that many have been praying for one another, are reaching out to one another, are loving one another just as you desired. Because you said, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Lord, help us to let the love of Christ shine brightly in the midst of this darkened world. And God, may we truly be the church that you've called us to be. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? Let me tell you something. With God on our side, what can't we do? When we elicit the assistance of God in our lives, we implore heaven for all of God's giving grace to be poured out upon not only our own lives, but upon our nation, things begin to happen. Let's trust and believe. Let's allow the greatness and the bigness of God to dwarf the temporal problems that we find ourselves facing. Thank you so much for being with us today. Please stay tuned for other announcements. And also remember that on Wednesday, we will be online once again sharing a Bible study, and perhaps we can even have some interaction with that one. But at any rate, stay posted, and we're going to keep you folks in our prayers. Thank you again, and God bless you.